Now I see grace.
A lot of people think this G stands for Georgia or Georgia Gwinnett Grizzlies, but it actually stands for Grace Point. That's right. So I see grace. We want to give you a chance to move around, shake a couple hands. So look around, stand up there just for a second, shake a few hands, and welcome each other. How many of you remember a song when you were growing up called Deep and Wide? Oh, my goodness. Look at that. So, Jason's up here to help, so I don't sound too bad. Deep and wide. Sing it with me here. Let's do it. Deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Okay, now stop right there. Now what they do is they drop a word. You remember that? You remember this at all? So now we're going to do it, but we're not going to sing the word deep. So are you ready for this? He goes, and why? And why there's a fountain flowing why? Somebody said it. I did. And why? And why there's a fountain flowing? Now you leave both deep and wide off. All right, you ready? And there's a fountain flowing. I heard it. We'll do one more time. Last time, we're going to leave out the word fountain. Ready? There's a flowing. That's good enough. That's good enough. Now, where does that come from? I'm going to read you the scripture. You ready for this? This will come up a little later again. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep in the soil of God's marvelous love. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Great passage. If you've never marked that in your Bible, to underline it, you want to do that. So we'll come back to that here in a little. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together to worship you, to sing your praises. We thank you that each person has come out today to spend this time praising you. We pray that we will also learn about your great love, how deep and how wide, how high and how long it is, as you show us your love day by day, minute by minute. We pray it all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Let's stand up and worship. Not with deep and wide.
Deep and wide. Please. Nice job, everybody up here. So, somebody really important is missing today. Stevie the drummer. And Pastor Kevin. So, pray for Kevin. He's not feeling too well this weekend, and you know, it's one of those things where you get a message and he's not feeling well. And I said, hey, can you use the outline? I said, I guess we have to, right? Because there it is. And so today, as I went through and looked at this message and kind of put together my thoughts with it, we're going to talk a lot about love. We're going to talk a lot about love. All right, that's a word that we need, right? The center of what we talk about. I'm reminded, you know, I'm the youth pastor, so I use a lot of visuals, and I didn't get to really send Joe. I didn't get to bother Joe this week like I usually do, sending videos and pictures and all that. But there was a pastor one time that said, wanted to teach a lesson, so he had four jars, and he had four worms. And in the first jar was cigarette smoke. The second jar was alcohol. The third jar was chocolate. And the fourth jar was nice fertile soil, and he put a worm in each of those jars. And at the end of the sermon, he said, let's look and see what happened. First one, worm is dead. 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 Flourishing over here in the soil. I said, what do you learn from that? And a lady in the back raised her hand and said, if you will smoke, drink, and eat a lot of chocolate, you will not have worms. I'm trying to figure out who in our church would have said something like that. Don't point, please. Now, I don't know if you could reach up under the seat. We have put, I really got in the budget a little bit, Jason. I wanted to give away a really nice gift to some folks today. There are three little gifts that are hidden under some pews. So I know it's kind of weird, but you got to kind of look up under the pew. Everybody, just take a second or two, look around under the pew, see if there's something up under there. If somebody finds one, we'll, oh boy, see what we got. Nobody's found anything. Susan found one. Ray found one. Ray, what did you find? Brand new iPad. Yes. We went out on a limb today. There's another one out. There's one more out somewhere. I know you'll be scrambling to find it. But that was Melanie, that was a great idea. I was just going to give it away for trivia questions, you know. She said, no, let's put it under the pews. But talk about love. Let's talk about that a minute. I saw love in action the other day. This was really cool. Got to go to James Island Outreach. And we went around and we were putting the little groceries. We're with the folks. We're helping them get that. And there was a lady there with us. Of course, I'm a newbie. I've never done this before with them. Then Sue's teaching me right. You're teaching me how to do it. Was that your first time as well?
First time working with
them. In going through there? It was amazing because I'm terrible at it. By the way, I'm the worst that they have because I spend too much time talking to the people. They're going, I just want some bread, you know. What do you do for a living? Where are you from? What do you do? You know, I'm always talking about all this stuff. Anyway, so there's a lady behind me, and she goes, you do really well at this. I don't know what she saw, but she said, you're doing really well. I said, where do you go to church? She says, I go to your church. Oh, that was a tough moment, you know. I said, yeah, but you usually wear a hat to church. I'm about to tell you who it is. And I don't wear a hat, so I had a hat on. But it was neat meeting folks like that. One other time that happened, Jason, I went to a volleyball practice over in West Ashley. This has been years ago. I walked in the gym, and this team looked really good. I mean, they had, Sandy, you probably, they had tall players. They had girls as tall as the guys. I mean, it was just a great-looking team. I said, what team is that? They said, John, that's your team. Thank you, Lord. Yes. So, but we love, we saw it in action the other day. I tell you what, yesterday in the wedding, and we'll hear this word in a minute, I come in there and this couple is from up in North Carolina. She's a nurse. He works in IT. And they're getting married out on the house, let's see, what is it called? The house on Lake Beulah. Anybody been out there? Beautiful spot. Great. It's out there by Dodge's Chicken. You go back in there a little ways. And the guy comes up to me and says, I want to add something into the ceremony. I said, uh-oh, this could be interesting. He said, I want to add something into the vows. I've had that happen one other time where the bride slipped something in. I think I probably told you all this story. And she slipped in. I promise, you know, I was like, to love me, care for me, you know, promise to be faithful, and I promise to pick up my dirty clothes and take out the trash. Now, the guy, the poor groom, in front of 150 people has to make a decision. Do I say I do to that? And then the wife, the bride, she made it loving because in her, she said, I promise to forgive him if he forgets to do those things. Well, this guy added in, here's what he added. Will you allow me to love you the mostest the rest of your life? Now, I had to apologize to my mom up in heaven, who's an English teacher. But we said that. He slipped a $20 bill in my pocket right in front of everybody. I told the bride it was $100. I got to quit lying, man. So $20 in the pocket. But what he said was really incredible. We're going to hear it in a minute. Will you allow me to love you? Isn't that's a neat thing, isn't it? I saw love in action in that moment. Saw Love in action down in Savannah doing a wedding on Friday at noon. We're down there. Actually, it's supposed to start at 11. It's hot. The groom is in a suit and tie. It's hot. It's 11 o'clock. Now it's 11:30. It's hot. It's now noon. It's still hot. No bride yet. The bride shows up at about 12:30. We are hot. I mean, it's hot out there. But you know what? It didn't matter. When he saw her, it just picked him up. The groom is a tank commander in the army. He just came back from Lithuania. Ooh, that's pretty close to some hot spots, right? And not only that, our photographer shows up, has a little bit of a accent. I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Lithuania." So those two had a great conversation about some of the places over there. Love in action. Love is patient, right? And here's one. This was last Sunday. I told Jonathan I was going to mention him a little bit. I'm on the phone with Jonathan. Now, last week, if you remember, Jonathan helped lead, right? And Melanie, they did a wonderful job, Stevie. And we're on our way to church. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember what the jobs of the two guys that walked past the wounded person were? Do you remember what their jobs were? There was a priest and a Levite. The Levite was kind of the music person, okay? We're on the phone, and we're getting ready. What songs are we going to do, Jonathan? What are we going to do? And he goes, "Hold on a minute. There's somebody here on the side of the road that needs help." And we literally got, and he's on his way to church, gets off the phone and helps that person. I said, that to me was so amazing. I'm not so sure I would have, I mean, I'm like, I got to get to church and get everything organized, you know, get on, we got to get together. He stops and shows love in that moment. And I know he's humble and embarrassed by that, but I said, that to me was an incredible moment of showing love. And then, of course, those of you who are going to graduation, you're going to see a lot of love shown to these graduates who have completed the work. Love in different languages. English says love. Spanish, amor. German, what's love in German? Anybody know? Liebe, is that right? Is that how you say it? Liebe? So you have songs or Liebestrom, love songs. French, amour, and Italian, amore. Doesn't that sound nice? Amore. And Greek, you remember the Greek word that we use? Agape. Agape. Those are words for love. Love. So let's talk today about making our relationships great by depending on God's love for us. What did children say when they were asked what love is? Here's a couple quotes. Billy, age 4, says, "When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth." Emily, age 8, "Love is when you kiss all the time. Then you get tired of kissing. You still want to be together, and you talk more. My mom and dad are like that, but they look gross when they kiss." Bobby, age 7, says, "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen." Man. Noel, that's right after the Christmas one. Here's somebody named Noel. "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he starts wearing it every day." Let's see, Chris, age 7. "Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Brad Pitt." And finally, Karen, age 7, says, "When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out." Like a cartoon, I guess. 1 Corinthians 13:13 finishes out that great love chapter. It says, "These three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love." So here's some points to fill in your outline there. The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. You remember what that groom said? "Will you allow me to love you the most? Will you allow me to be the one who loves you the most?" Will we allow God to be the one who loves us the most? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. "Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God loves us so much. Our purpose in life. Many of you have probably read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. There's a purpose-driven church, a purpose-driven youth group, small groups. Purpose-driven. What is our purpose? We continually need to look back and say, why are we here? What is God? What is the purpose for us being here? Is to allow God to love us. That's why He created us. And secondly, what is our calling? My first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Dear friends in Rome, God loves you dearly. He has called you to be His very own people. He wants us to have that relationship. We think our calling, and I've always thought, you know, it's to be a youth pastor or to do music, you know, be a music pastor or be a plumber or teacher, carpenter, a stay-at-home mom or dad, you know, to be there with those kids. Those are all callings. But what is our first primary calling? It is to enjoy a relationship with God. Now, the tough part of that is we can't do that on our own. The only one that makes that possible is Jesus through the cross. He brings us together with His Father. We feel like, I tell folks sometimes I'm the world's oldest youth pastor. You know, that's the calling, right? And I think I told you guys I just turned 50 13 years ago. So that's old Jeff Foxworthy, I think, said that. But then I told one lady one day that I was the world's oldest youth pastor. And she said, no, no, we got a guy in our church. He's got to be in his 50s. And I said, I'd like to give you a hug right now. And but, yeah, it's one of those things, a calling on your life. What is God calling you to do? You know, all these other roles flow out of the fact that we have a relationship with God. We enjoy that relationship. It leads to different ministries. And then the relationship, what is it? The relationship is to be His son or His daughter. Now, earlier I was going to ask this trivia question and then give away a nice iPad. Since you've already got the iPad. Enjoy the iPad, Sue. That's going to be a nice... I don't want you to hit Alan or anything, but, you know, that could happen. What's that? Oh, it's on Facebook. We've already won the iPad here. Who else got that? Ray? Tell the folks up in Manhattan or New York, right, New York? Tell them you got an iPad at church. Anybody else? Did anybody find the third one? I don't know where it is. We'll find that one here in a little bit. You still have a chance. Somebody. But here it is. What was Abraham Lincoln, the president, what was his son's name? Does anybody remember? Who said Tad? iPad. Rhymes with iPad. So Tad, now get this. Abraham Lincoln at that time in our history was the most powerful man in the world. I mean, he was in this ravaging war is going on. He's the president of the United States, probably one of our greatest presidents. Tad, his little boy, in the middle of a meeting, had free access to come in and sit in his dad's lap right in the middle of those meetings, right in the middle of the controversies that were going on. His son had free rein to come in and spend time with him. You know what, folks? We have that same privilege with God, the creator of the universe. We have that opportunity to come and spend time with Him, and He takes us in. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. We are His children. And you know, you don't mistreat. If you're a loving parent, you don't mistreat your children. You welcome them. You welcome them in. And then the passage that we read earlier, it's in Ephesians chapter 3, 17 through 19. It says this, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. My grandmother passed away when she was 85. My mom, when she was right around 85. And I believe they were still learning at that point about the love of God, the love of Christ. It's something you never quite... If you ever hear somebody say, I now understand Christianity, or I now understand the love of God, we will never complete. Matter of fact, C.S. Lewis, I think it was, said, if you ever can prove Christianity, if you can totally prove it, it's no longer Christianity, because there's a step of faith involved. It's a belief that we... It's going to be something that we don't see yet, but one day we will. So these questions come up. How wide? Wide enough to be everywhere. Wide enough to be everywhere. You can't go anywhere where God's love isn't there. We had a guy, this is a total spontaneous thing right here. We had a guy, my dad tells these stories about when he was out doing revivals and training. Somebody, people would pray things sometimes, it was kind of funny. So this was a missionary, and the missionary was speaking, and a guy stood up in the church, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, be with the natives on the islands of the sea where the foot of man has never trod. Now, you got to think about that a minute, but the fact that you're praying these prayers, that God is everywhere. He's everywhere. No matter where you go, God is there with you, helping you, giving you strength. Secondly, how long? Long enough to last forever. Long enough to last forever. How deep? Deep enough to handle anything. Deep enough to handle anything. And how high? This is probably our favorite one. High enough to overlook my sins. Whew. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Think about that. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. All of us are going through storms in life. All of us have problems, as Jason talked about a while ago. Whether you're having a great week or a tough week, no matter what it is, no matter what's happened, God's love is so high that it's going to be covering up all of our sins through forgiveness. I was looking up last night, and there's a guy, a singer named Bob Bennett. Great last name. Bob Bennett, or first name. And so... He sang a song that I remembered called A Song About Baseball. That's all it was. How many of you have been on a baseball or softball field this spring watching a game? Or not too many. How many over the last year or two, maybe? Yeah. I told Kevin I've got a wedding coming up in December, and the guy, by the time this summer is over, this guy will be pitching for the Baltimore Orioles. And so I'm excited about that. Kevin might want to go along with me. And just kind of, this is my assistant, Kevin, you know. But this guy, baseball. Now, how many of you, let's ask this question. How many of you ever at any time in your life played softball or baseball? Look at that. Some point you've been on the ball field. How many of you were horrible? Same group, Jason. So listen to this. This is the song about baseball. I was trying to figure out how to send the video, but I want you to just listen to this. Saturday's on the baseball field, and me, afraid of the ball. Just another kid on camera day when the Angels still played in L.A. I was smiling in living black and white. Baseball caps and bubble gum. I think there's a hole in my glove. 3-2. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Life and death. I was swinging with my eyes closed, holding my breath. I was dying on my way back to the bench. None of it mattered after the game when my father would find me and call out my name. A soft drink, a snow cone, a candy bar, and a limousine ride in the family car. He loved me no matter how I played. He loved me no matter how I played. But none of it mattered after the game when my father would find me and call out my name, dreaming of glory the next time out. My father showed me what love is all about. He loved me no matter how I played. That's a tough one. For us dads, sometimes we get wrapped up. I know I do. I'm watching the golf, you know, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, how can you hit the ball over there? Because in the PGA, you know, they have this tracker now that shows you exactly where the ball went. And I went, oh, man. But then you call them up and you say, love you, proud of you. Got to say that. Got to do it. Remember Tad, the little boy coming into his father, sitting in his dad's lap. President Abraham Lincoln holding his son. Maybe the most powerful man in all of history, but we have a relationship just like that with our Heavenly Father. God in our life has given us some commands. And yet, even if we don't follow those commands, you know, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's given us those challenges, but he forgives us even when we mess up. Some of the times we mess up by not doing certain things. You know, there's those sins of omission, sins of commission. You know, we did something wrong, or we should have done something that we didn't do. There are different ways that we can mess up, and God still loves us. We still get that limousine ride in the family car. Now, how staying aware of God's love, how does that impact our relationships? That's a good question. I'll kind of move through this a little quicker. It says, number one, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. When we understand God's love, we feel accepted rather than ashamed. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God, and now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. We've been reconciled to him. Now, I was going to do this. I think I'm going to hold off. I'm just going to kind of talk about it. I was going to take this brand new pencil out, and I was just going to break it in half. Everybody, whoa. And then I was going to take a little piece of tape and put it back together. That tape represents Jesus. Putting us back in relationship with God. We broke the relationship. God didn't do it. We did that. But that little piece of tape represents the way that Jesus brings us back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. You remember that story about peace, be still. He says that to us in our hearts. I think it was in the song that Jonathan sang. I can't remember how it phrased it about, it's a peace that's beyond understanding. A peace that passes understanding. What a beautiful verse. It's in Philippians chapter 4. That's not in your outline, but listen to this. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a peace that we don't understand. There's a great story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. She was ashamed. You know, why in the world? You know, we're down in Savannah on Friday at noon waiting. It's hot, right? All the women would go to the well at 6 a.m. when it was cool. But this lady, she was ashamed. She went right at noon in the middle of the day because she knew no one else would be there. But Jesus came along, he's sitting there, and he gave her a peace that passes understanding. John chapter 4, check that out. Romans chapter 8 says this, if God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anyone bring charges against them or can anyone condemn them? No, indeed. No, indeed. There's a peace that passes understanding. Number two. When we understand God's constant love for us, I am bold in bringing my needs to God. Just like Tad, there we go again. Dad, I need something to eat, or I need this or that. We can go speak to our Father in heaven about our needs. We don't have to be ashamed. It says this, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father, And since we are his children, we will share his treasures, for everything God gives to his son Christ is ours too. And so we're reminded he knows us so well that we are his children. He made us. I love in the, if you haven't gotten to see some of the Chosen, I know many of you have watched some of that. Some of you are using it in Bible studies. The very first episode, I'm watching that episode, and it's good. And the whole time I'm thinking, and we're about 20 to 30 minutes in, and I'm thinking, where's Jesus? Where is he? Isn't this about Jesus? And it's actually Mary Magdalene is in there, and they're calling her Lilith. I mean, they're giving her the name Lilith. And Isaiah, her dad, has been saying this verse over and over. Let me read it to you. It says, "But thus says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I've called you by your name." Now, she's going by a different name. She's going by the name Lilith, not the name Mary. So everybody knows her as Lilith. And I'm sitting there thinking, where's Jesus? She's in this little, I don't know what they called them back then. It's not a saloon. It's not a bar. It's just a place where there's some sort of drink that she's wanting to kind of forget all her problems. She's there, and her hand is ready to take this. And all of a sudden, another hand comes in and puts on top of hers. And it hit me. That's Jesus. And she's like, get away, stay away, go away. And she kind of rushes out. And Jesus follows her out. Now remember this verse. He's called you by name. She stops as she's walking out, and he says, Mary. Nobody knows her by that name. Mary. She has that cup and drops it and turns around and realizes, this is the one my dad was talking about. He knows your name. We are his children. What a great picture. There's a story in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. Have you heard about that? Think about this. Jesus sitting there, he doesn't just know her name. He knows her whole life story. He knows it all. And so she kind of changes the subject. But he knows us so well, and he still loves us so much. Number 3. I gain the courage to take risks. There we go. I don't know. Jason, you remember a group called Audio Adrenaline? Man, these guys were like way. I mean, this was probably 30 years ago, 30, 35 years. They were like, whoa, way out there, right? Our church in Tennessee was pretty calm and, kind of did the traditional music. And the pastor did a message on taking risks. And I went into his office Monday morning. I said, hey, what do you think about bringing in Audio Adrenaline? And he said, well, there are reasonable risks. But before we left, we had who's the guy that wrote Our God is an Awesome God? Rich Mullins. Before I left there, we had Rich Mullins come in. Rich Mullins with his guitar player back, and this is radical back then, I'm telling you. His guitar player in shorts, he's barefooted, and they're playing. And so we did get to that point a little bit. Audio Adrenaline didn't come, but Rich Mullins did. What are those risks that God has challenged you to do? There's a story in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. Have you heard this? That woman did not take any risks. She's out there at noon because nobody will be there, right? She doesn't want to be embarrassed and all. Guess what happens after she meets Jesus, the Messiah? She runs back to the town to tell everybody. You talk about a risk. What if they make fun of her? What if they? I'm sure they did. I found the Messiah. What? You got to be kidding. Come see. She took a risk. Because of Jesus changing her life. That's what happened. We talked about this at youth the other night, and one of the girls said, isn't it amazing the difference that Jesus made in her life in those few moments? That she went from being ashamed and embarrassed and not even wanted to speak to anybody. And now she's gone back into town to tell everybody. Not only that, they believe her. They just come out. Number four, I worship instead of worry. Whew. We spent a little time talking about this in our small group on Thursday, talking about worrying. Now, what is that? You know, pray more, worry less. Worry is kind of like the spiritual cancer. It's like meditation on the wrong side. You're meditating about all the bad things instead of all the blessings. You're chewing it up like the cow that chews their cud. You know, that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? We're just chewing it up over and over, thinking about all these bad things that can happen, all this. And in the meantime, God says, focus on the blessings. Look at the blessings that you have. Because here's what happens. One negative word can wipe out about 10 positive things. You hear that all the time. You say, in relationship with other people, if you say something that's just mean and hateful, that one thing, you'll have to come back with about 10 compliments to get rid of that one. That's tough. So we have to be very careful. But we also need to be worshiping God and focusing on Him instead of worrying. Look what the verse says in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all you need from day to day. If you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He talks about the birds and the flowers. You know, there's a story in John chapter 4. It's called The Woman at the Well. Y'all heard that? And it's so amazing, the work, because they end up talking about worship. They talk about worship. And not only that, not the whole town comes out and lives are changed. Many believe. Do you know what Jesus did for the next 2 or 3 days? He went and hung out in that little town of Samaria. Man, these are the people you don't hang out with. He went into that little town in Samaria, and he stayed 2 more days, and they worshiped him. Think of the difference in that lady's life. That woman at the well went from a worrywart to a worship warrior. I mean, she was leading the charge now, worshiping. I'm going to read, you know, we started out with the children's definition of love. So I said, I wonder what the older folks say. You know, I don't even use that word old much anymore. But what would the people, what would senior citizens say about love? Wouldn't you like to hear that? You know, we heard the kids. What do senior citizens say about love? Well, I got a few of them. It's actually people right here in the congregation. No, I'm kidding. Here's what it says. Mature love is not caught up in fantasy. It is willing to see someone for who they are and choosing to love them fully. A successful marriage requires falling in love many times with the same person. Those who love deeply, this is Ben Franklin. Whoa, heard of him. Those who love deeply never grow old. They may die of old age, but they die young. Love is like a friendship caught on fire. In the beginning, it's a flame. Pretty, hot, and fierce, but still light and flickering. As love grows older, our hearts mature and our love becomes like coals, deep burning and unquenchable. Whew. I can't even pronounce this guy's name, but he says, true love is not like Romeo and Juliet, who died together. It's grandma and grandpa who grew old together. And this one says, don't look for a pretty face. It will turn old one day. Don't look for soft skin. It will wrinkle one day. Yeah, I guess it is. But look for a loyal heart that will miss you every day and love you forever. Gosh, that got me excited there. True love doesn't happen by accident. It's deliberate. It's intentional. It's purposeful. And in the end, it's worth it. Senior citizens, this great philosopher, psychologist, what his last name is, Frum, Immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you. And then the last one says this. When we honestly ask ourselves about which person in our lives means the most to us, we find that it is those who have chosen to share our pain, touch our wounds, and with a warm and tender hand. Whew. Powerful, powerful, powerful. I want to close with this. This is a poem that I read every once in a while in weddings, talking about love. And I want you to think now, you know, we're talking about weddings here, husband and wife, but I want you to think about your relationship with God also. Because our relationship with God affects all of our relationships. Friends, children, grandchildren, grandparents, teachers, students, everybody, coaches, players, it doesn't matter. God's love, when you understand His love, it affects every relationship that we have. This is by a guy, I'd never heard of this fellow, and the bride sent me this poem to read. His name is Neil Gaiman, G-A-I-M-A-N. A couple funny stories about him. Never heard of him before. The wedding is up in Florence area. We're up in Florence, and I'm staying up that way that night. And the next morning, you know how you get these messages on your phone? It's like quote of the day and, you know, words to live by. I open up the one for that day, and it's by Neil Gaiman, the very guy that we're getting ready to. I said, thank you, Lord. That kind of tells me I should read this. And then I'm meeting with another couple. I think anybody ever eat a Vicious Biscuit? Now, that's a nice name of a place. That makes you interested to go. Jeff, you been there? You got to take Lane, man. Vicious Biscuit. Now, that name just grabs you, doesn't it? So we go, and I'm sitting there with this couple, and I'm telling them about this poem. And she says, my friend dated Neil Gaiman. I said, you got to be kidding me. This happens all the time. Like I said, God's up in heaven going, hey, guys, watch this. This is going to be really good. This happens all the time. Can I tell you one other one? This happened Friday. I'm out at this lake house. I'm sitting over there, and the couple lives in Silva, North Carolina. Anybody know where Silva, North Carolina is? So I'm standing at the door talking to the couple. I said, well, I've got a Silva, North Carolina story. I said, I don't care what city you name. I've got a story about it. I said, we were playing the University of Tennessee in baseball. Their shortstop was also their quarterback, named Jimmy Streeter. Now, I don't know if Kevin would know that or not. He probably would. Jimmy Streeter, quarterback of the football team, also the shortstop. He was from Silva, North Carolina. I'm talking to the bride and groom over here. The dad is sitting over there. He just had knee replacement 4 or 5 weeks ago. He jumps up and walks over and says, I played against Jimmy Streeter. I'm going, you got to be kidding. And he said, he pitched against me. His brother pitched against me. We played against each other. That happens all the time. And like I said, God's in heaven going, hey, guys, watch this. This is going to be cool. But I want to read this to you. The first two lines will shock you, just to give you a warning. All right, here it is. This is in the middle of a wedding. It's called All I Know About Love. This is everything I have to tell you about love. Nothing. This is everything I've learned about marriage. Nothing. Only that the world out there is complicated and there are beasts in the night, delight and pain. And the only thing that makes it okay sometimes is to reach out a hand in the darkness and find another hand to squeeze and not to be alone. Remember, we're thinking about God as well, our Father. It's not the kisses. Or never just the kisses, it's what they mean. Somebody's got your back. Somebody knows your worst self, and somehow they don't want to rescue you or send for the army to rescue them. It's not two broken halves becoming one. It's the light from a distant lighthouse bringing you both safely home, because home is wherever you are both together. So this is everything I have to tell you about love and marriage. Nothing. like a book without pages or a forest without trees, because there are things you cannot know before you experience them, because no study can prepare you for the joys or the trials, because no one else's love, no one else's marriage, let's even say no one else's faith with God is like yours. It's a road that can only be learned by walking it. A dance that you cannot be taught. A song that did not exist before you began to sing together. And because in the darkness, you will reach out a hand, not knowing for sure if someone else is even there. And your hands will meet. And then neither of you will never need to be alone again. And that's all I know about love. God's love is there. When you reach out your hand, He's there. When others need love, they need a hand. You be God's hand to reach out to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us that great love that we've just tried to talk about. We will never understand it completely. But we know that you love us so much. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that just hasn't really experienced that love that we're talking about. I pray that today would be a day when they give you that opportunity to allow you to love them. Allow themselves to receive that gift of salvation and love and forgiveness. Lord, I know that all of us are going through different things, but you can touch our hand. You can say our name. You know us. And we know that when you say our name, it's out of love. We thank you for that, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for this fun time together. We know that your love is so great. You are an awesome God. May we have a peace that totally passes all of our understanding because your love is so great. Help us to share it as we go from this place now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.